What do you need to come alive tonight? What do you need to come alive in your body, in your relationships? We speak the name of Jesus over these things. Hallelujah. What do you need to come alive in your marriage? What do you need to come alive in your cells, in your body? We speak the name of Jesus over each and every one here, over the dry bones in this area, in this community. And we say, wake up and come alive to Jesus in the name of Jesus. Wake up to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you agree with that tonight, glory to God. Say amen. Hallelujah. His word's going out. His word is going forth. The light is going out. And there's an awakening unto God in this area, in these communities, in the name of Jesus. We speak Jesus over Ogallala and the surrounding areas. And we say, wake up to the healer. Wake up to the savior. Wake up to the deliverer in the name of Jesus. Those things that have held people back, those chains that have kept people back from the plan and call of God. We speak Jesus over those chains and we say, you break off the people. You break off the lives of anyone in this church. You break off the lives of this community in the name of Jesus. We declare the glory. We declare the victory. We take ground for the kingdom tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you agree, say amen. Glory to God. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Are you full of faith tonight? Are you ready to get more faith tonight? Praise God. We're about to grow in our faith, grow in grace tonight. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you. Welcome in the room. Welcome online. If it's your first time, our website is VLFC and you can find out more about us, our past messages, submit a testimony, submit a prayer request. You can do this online. You can do this on your offering envelope as well. It's our honor to pray with you. It's our honor to agree in prayer and see the results are always victory. We are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Praise God. Pastor Rodney's Daily Devotional. Who's reading the Daily Devotional? Hallelujah. I know I am every single day. It's on Facebook each morning. It pops up. It's on the website. And you can also subscribe to have it sent to your email. That's how I do it. I just go right to my email box because sometimes I don't want to jump on Facebook. That could be very distracting. So if you want to avoid distractions, that's another great way to do it is just get it sent to your email. And so you know how Facebook can be. One thing leads to another. And we have to guard those things. So praise God. Sunday's doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10. Come early for coffee, for fellowship. We have our coffee bar back over there. Also, this week, no Friday prayer here this Friday. We will not be having Friday prayer. And next Wednesday, everyone say next Wednesday, June 17th, 1 week from tonight. From 6 to 7:30. So it's a time change. We got to be here by 6. We're going to celebrate Pastor Rodney's birthday. Woo! And have a fellowship dinner. And so I'll also have a card basket over here if you want to bring a card for him and just write a blessing to him of how he's been a blessing in your life. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for our pastor? Amen. We pray for him every day. We are going to be grilling hamburgers and hot dogs. And so there's a sign-up sheet over there for the sides and desserts and things like that. So if you want to sign up for that. And so praise God, we're excited for that next Wednesday. For volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, coffee station back there, the ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, our worship team. Also, if you have a heart to lead a team or a discipleship class, please let us know. And we'd like to visit with you, work with you on leading these classes. We're so thankful for the gifts and talents that God has placed in you. And so we can all grow together. And we thank you to all you volunteers helping us, helping the church, helping the house of God stay clean, function, do what we're called to do, love on the people. Amen. We want to love on the people as they come in. Praise God. Baby Bottle Boomerang is going through Father's Day. There's some bottles over there. If you haven't got your baby bottle, you can take it with you, bring it back on Father's Day or right after that. And then we turn that into our local pregnancy center, Pathways Pregnancy and Resource Center here in town. It's completely donation based. We're a 501c3 ministry, and we minister to young families, moms in the community to choose life, to help them with their children. And we have a boutique there with size preemie through 7-8, a maternity boutique. We offer lessons in life mentoring, classes on parenting. It's such a blessed place. We give out diapers and wipes and just help families and hygiene items. And so your seed definitely is such a blessing to see this in the lives of the people in the community. So praise God for that. Also, I have the petition to sign, and I'll be over here for the ballot on that's going to go out in November, and I can explain that more later. I had made that announcement earlier. So invite somebody to church. Be intentional. 4 out of 5 people come to church because they were invited. If you need to go pick them up, that helps too. Drive by and grab them on the way to church, and it just helps, you know, people are more comfortable when they know somebody to start off with. And so think about who you might want to invite, or maybe it's somebody you don't even know and you're at the grocery store. Praise God. Praise God. So tonight for our offering, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and I just have this offering scripture tonight. Luke 6, 38. Thank you, Lord. He is so good. We have a good daddy God. He loves us. He takes care of us. He has your best interest in mind. Thank you, Father. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe as a bag. For with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use to confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you." Praise God. And tonight when I got that scripture, tonight I heard depression. And a powerful way for that to go is to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds on the word and speak it out, but also to get ourselves, our mind off of ourself. When we give to others, it's like an uplifting off of us. You're not focused on yourself, but you're finding something to give somebody. We all have something we can give somebody, even if it's a smile. Maybe it's a shirt in our closet or some jewelry or something, but the Lord will show you this person could use this. And if we look for those opportunities to be a blessing to somebody, pretty soon we're going to forget about what the enemy is trying to do to us. Yes, there's prayer and those things in the word of God, but I'm telling you, when I heard that, when we give, gifts are given to us and our minds are stayed off of ourselves. And so we receive that tonight. We know the joy of the Lord is our strength. For some reason, this is what, you know, he has us saying tonight. And so just say, "I have the joy of the Lord. It's rising up within me. It is my strength." Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Praise God. God is so good. And so he has good gifts for each and every one of us. And so as we're looking to sow our seed tonight, even here, we can sow for that plan, that purpose that he has for our life. Because in the plan of God is fulfillment. You know, I was just thinking even, I believe it was today, how we could just be going about our lives and just doing day-to-day things, whatever it may be. But if we're not fulfilling the plan of God, our lives are fruitless, but they're missing something. It feels like there's always a void. You're always trying to figure it out. But when you get into the plan of God, then you have that fulfillment. Now we have a purpose. And that's part of the calling on this church, is to help people find their purpose. And this church body has a purpose. So we as a church body have a purpose. And in that purpose, you know, We have a vision to see it carried out. And so if you're looking to find out what the vision is in your own life, hook up with the vision of the church and you will get the vision for your own personal life. Because even as we're believing for and releasing our faith for the plan of God and the vision of what he can only do, we say, what are you believing for? And name and sow your seed as you're connected to the vision of the church. And so we know we're believing for a church building, a property of our own with room for growth, for the children's ministry, classrooms here, the different age-appropriate classrooms, a prayer room, and discipleship classes, a fellowship hall, because we know we like to get together and enjoy one another and have meals together and have that time together, have reception, have baby showers, have wedding receptions and those kinds of things. And so we want that space to be a blessing to the church, to be a blessing to the community. And so that is a great tool. And so as tonight, just the update here so far. So our phase one of our building projects, we're believing for $5,000, which is above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. So far, $2,515 has come in. That's over half of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're so grateful for that. God is a God of multiplication. And so that's $2,485 remaining for this vision project, phase one. And so we want to say thank you, praise, for allowing the Lord to use you in this vision and in the plan that he has. So if you're giving tonight, there is an option when giving online for a drop down for building fund, or you can write that on the envelope in the room here as you give today. If you're giving by credit card, please use the offering envelope and sign, as well as if you're giving by cash, please fill out the information. Please write checks to VLFC, and we invite you online to be a part of this vision along with us. Partner with the vision. If you need a vision in your life, the best thing to do is partner with the plan of God and see his plan fulfilled in your own life. Praise God. And so tonight, as we're given, let's go ahead and say our offering confession. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings. We are getting our lands and our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
God is good. He is faithful. Father God, we thank you so much for this time, this opportunity, Lord, that you have called us here. Lord, you have called us here into this place, here in Ogallala, Lord, to preach this word of faith and victory, Lord, that we might know the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus, this victory life, and that we might walk it out with you, not just for ourselves, but Lord, as ensigns and examples, living epistles, walking, living, breathing, preaching, teaching testimonies of the goodness of God. And so, Father, we're asking you right now for the ministry of Holy Spirit, who is here to lead us, to guide us into all truth. So, Lord, as we are speaking here tonight, Lord, I'm asking you for divine utterance. Yes, we have notes. Yes, we have studied. But, Lord, I just thank you for the help and the ministry of Holy Spirit. Whatever you want to do, we are all yielded to you. And we're asking you, have your way, have your will in us, for us, and through us tonight. In Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Yes, we are here teaching on Jesus, the miracle worker. He was the miracle worker. He is the miracle worker, and he will forevermore be the God of miracles. Amen. So tonight we've been looking at this now for some weeks. Here on Wednesday nights, we have been studying on Jesus, the miracle worker, and then on Sundays in a little bit different flow, we have been studying on again, these miracles of Jesus, going through them one by one through the gospel accounts. There are 37 distinct miracles in the Gospels. Now, some of the writers have covered the miracles, you know, once or twice, or some of them and all four occasions. But tonight we want to look at specifically the Great Commission. So again, what we have here, Jesus, the miracle worker, and so the invitation of this series is, number one, the miracles of Jesus, but two, this is the mission of his people. This isn't just his mission, it's our mission. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. When I got saved, his mission became my mission. This is why I call him Lord.
Amen.
He's not just your Savior. He's your Lord. And if he has Lord, then he is your master who's to lead you and to guide you. You are not your own. Let's turn over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we want to look at a couple of places there. Verse 17 to start, and then we'll look at that 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Verse 17 says, but he who is joined, say, I've been joined. Joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. When you got saved, when you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Galatians 3:27 says you have been baptized into Christ. Christ is Christ. Jesus is the Christ. You were baptized into the Christ. There's just one Christ. Again, Christ isn't Jesus Christ up here and then you have some watered down little measure of Christ. No, there's just one Christ. There's just one Spirit. You have been baptized into his Spirit.
Yeah.
The Godhead is what? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
You and I were baptized into the Godhead. You and I were baptized into the Son. The scripture says you and I are now, Romans chapter 8, you and I are joint heirs with Christ. Whatever's true about Christ is true about me. All that Christ was, is, or forever will be, is me. hold your place. We're going to come back here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This runs throughout the New Testament. It repeats this thing over and over and over again for emphasis. He says here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. I have, past tense, been crucified with Christ. Heaven has it recorded. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you at that point in time, in the Spirit, you were there at Calvary. You were there on the cross, and he says, you in the Spirit, again, one Spirit, you were crucified with Christ. Amen? In the Spirit, you died the death of the cross with Christ. When Jesus hung on that cross, he did it as a representative of the entire human race. And who gets to participate in it? All those who will believe and confess it. Hallelujah. You were crucified in the Spirit. You were crucified, it says, with Christ. Other translations say co-crucified. Amen. But he says, it is no longer I who live. Well, yeah, somebody died. You died. The old you is dead. It's no longer you. Well, if it's no longer me, then who is it that's supposed to be making the decisions over my life? Who is it? Is it still you? You died. So somebody's alive. Somebody has something to say about how you live your life, who you are now. He says, it is no longer I who live, but, oh, look here, but Christ who lives in me. You died. Thank God. Oh, praise eternally. Thank God. You were a sinner serving Satan on your way to the lake of fire for all of eternity. But Jesus intervened. Somebody preached the gospel to you and the word broke through. It intervened. And in a moment of time, when you made that confession that Jesus, I now confess you as the Lord over my life. Take it now. Do something with it. At that moment in time, you were crucified with Christ. You died. Christ moved in. He says, but Christ lives in me. And now how do we do this? Now that it's Christ who lives in me, he says, and the life I now live in this, or in the flesh, or in this body, I live by faith. Say, I live by faith. Where or who? In the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son. I live by faith in Christ. I live by faith in Him. I don't live according to my flesh. I'm not ruled by the fleshly appetites. Amen. Amen. I still have a natural body. You still have a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, but that's not the real you. This body is just your earth suit. In a few more days, should the Lord tarry, it will expire. It has an expiration date on it. Amen. I'm not living according to this thing. No, I live according to the Spirit of life. I live according to Christ. Who is Christ? 180 references in the New Testament are saying in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in Him, in whom. All of those are specifically telling you who you are, what you have, what you can do now that you are in Christ. And as a believer, you have no right to live any other way. You don't get to choose. God already chose. And it's a good one. It's good. In Christ, it's good. Amen. You look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside of Him. Hallelujah. So again, the church for far too long has been living far below their rights and privileges according to who they are in Christ because they keep looking somewhere else. They're judging according to the flesh. They're judging according to appetites. They're judging according to this world. And all the while, they're looking to the world and these other things to define them, to limit them. And all the while, he says, no, no, no. All of this already belongs to you. All of this already belongs to you. Again, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's how I live my life. I do not confer with flesh and blood. Well, what do you think, flesh? Your flesh will lie to you. Your flesh will lie to you. It will not tell you what the truth is. It may tell you what may be true, but it will not tell you what the truth is. If you want to find out what truth is, you've got to go to God. You've got to go to the one who made you. He is the only one who can define you because it's His life. It is His Spirit who He has placed in you. I don't go to this world to find out about God in me. They cannot. They cannot. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Lord. We're going to get to the message, but Colossians chapter 3, I believe it's good. This is helping us. Say, this is helping me. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if then you were, say, I were, raised with Christ. Again, there's just one Christ. He who has been joined to the Lord is one Spirit with the Lord. Amen. So again, if you then were raised with Christ, desire those things which are above where Christ sits. Where Christ sits. Where are you sitting right now? Where are you sitting right now? Go ahead.
Front seat.
Front seat? No, you're not. You are not sitting in that seat. Your body is sitting in that seat. Now, in the spirit, you are there, but in the spirit, you are there at the right hand of the Father. He says, you were, he says, this is where Christ sits. He says, if then you, if you, he's talking about your spirit, man, not your natural body. He says, if you then were raised with Christ, desire those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. In the realm of the Spirit fills all in all. The Scripture says, he fills all in all, but in the realm of the Spirit, you are here inhabiting this body, but you are also there where Christ is at the Father's right hand. That is your eternal position. That is your eternal position. You were seated there the moment you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That will never change throughout eternity. Amen? Amen. Well, I missed it in my flesh, Pastor. You know, I did this and I did that and I took this and I, yeah, yeah, that may be so. And we can help you. You know, we can share you some scripture. We can believe God with you to get free, but your eternal position is still seated together in Christ. Your righteousness is still intact. Hallelujah. Now, you can miss it according to your flesh. He's not talking about your flesh. He's talking about your spirit, man. Hallelujah. If then you were raised with Christ, desire those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Say, for I am dead, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 3, amen. Verse 3 again, for you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're dead. You died, rightfully so. You were an old sinner who had to die, and you deserve to go to the cross. You deserve to go to hell. Jesus took that place. He became your substitute in every facet. He bore it all, your sin, your sicknesses, your diseases. That's why he took stripes on his back, so that he says, by my stripes, you would be healed. Now, salvation, you know, just getting to go punch my ticket, I'm going to get to go to heaven one day, that would have been awesome. Oh, but he didn't just leave it at that. He says, no, you're going to be whole even as I am whole in every way. Nothing missing, nothing broken, perfect peace. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the healer. I am the provider. Even as I am, so are you. That was 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, Jesus Christ, as he is, so am I in this world. When you have something going on in your life, your soul, your body, your finances, is this Jesus? Is that Jesus? Is that the healer? No, that's not the healer. When I'm looking at my wallet, am I looking at it according to the natural, or am I looking at it according to in Christ? There's no lack in Christ. There's no sickness and disease in Christ. There's no oppression, depression, anxiety, fear in Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, he's not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So again, where am I looking? Where am I looking? Am I looking to me? Am I looking to this world? Or am I looking to who I am in Christ? Again, the only one who can define you is the one who made you. And he didn't just make you. He literally put his life in you. Amen. So again, the New Testament, roughly 180 references, who you are in Christ. He's letting you know. So again, every time I see with Christ, in Christ, it helps me just to put my name. So thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So again, when I see in Christ, I just put Rodney in Christ, Rodney in Christ, Rodney in him. It just helps me. And I believe it would help you do the same. Anytime you see Christ, just add your name to it, Rodney in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. So again, we're back to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and that you are not your own. Say, I'm not my own. Well, if I'm not my own, then that means I don't get to decide. Now, people do. You have a free will, but you ought not. I don't get to decide. I look to Christ. I look to the Word of God. I look to the leading of the Holy Spirit who's breathing on that Word to tell me and lead me what to do in these situations. Again, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I'm led by the Spirit. I'm not led by my flesh. I'm not led by my feelings. I'm led by His Spirit through His Word. That's exactly how Jesus functions. So again, we're looking at Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, but all of this is intended to be the mission of His people. So tonight we're looking at the Great Commission. And so there's four passages in each one of the Gospels that I want to read through here. And as I read through these passages, I want you to be listening for just one thing that stands out to you to share with us when we get done reading these. So Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, then Jesus came to them, the disciples. Again, this is after the resurrection, before His ascension, and said, all authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark 16:15 through 20. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will be made well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, He was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirming His word by the signs that accompanied it. Now let's look at Luke 24:46 through 49. And He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and in His name, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. For you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but remain in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. John 20:21-22. Again, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so also I am sending you. When He had said this, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I just want to ask one or two of you to respond. What stood out about any one of those passages to you? What's just one thing that stood out to you? All authority in heaven and earth was given to you and I. Amen. Anybody else? Glory to God.
All we got to do is believe and use the name of Jesus, and we will be able to do what He said we will be able to do.
All we have to do is believe on the name of Jesus and do what He said, and it's going to work. Amen. Glory to God. So God has his part. You and I have our part. And when they will come into alignment, he says it's going to work just as it did for them. Glory to God. Well, thank you for sharing that. I want to share here just a few minutes and then we're going to break out in groups here tonight. But a few things I want to share with you. Number one is what this Great Commission reveals to us about Jesus. Number one, Jesus has all authority. All authority. So again, when he came up out of hell, he says, I've taken back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. All authority. So again, we see in other places, he has authority in heaven. He has authority in the earth. He has authority under the earth because he took it all back. He defeated Satan and all and every demon in open combat. He took it. He conquered hell. Amen. So again, this word all authority is the word exousia. It means authority. It means capacity. Hold on now, conferred power. Conferred power. There's power in authority. It means jurisdiction, or it can also mean dominion. It means right. It means liberty. It means rulership. But really what we're seeing here, it is authority, it is conferred power over a particular domain or a dominion. You and I have been given the name of Jesus, which is good everywhere for all of eternity. In heaven, in earth, under the earth, doesn't matter where you go. We can, if we can put a man on Mars, he's got authority there. He's got authority there in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, if there's any sickness and disease on Mars, we got authority to drive it out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So again, Jesus is sending us not in your authority, not in your ability, but in his authority. And it's released. It's all packed into the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So again, just thinking about this, what do you suppose that Jesus's authority could accomplish? Again, just take yourself out of the equation. Just think about it. What can Jesus's authority accomplish? Look around your neighborhood. Look around your community. Look at your own house. What could Jesus's authority accomplish? Glory to God. Now, picture yourself. Don't just picture Jesus there speaking to mountains. Don't just picture Jesus laying hands on the sick. No, this is me. This is me. Picture yourself in Jesus' name going and doing these things. You have to see it. You have to see yourself the way God sees you. And how God sees you, he just told you. He just told you exactly how he sees you. You in and of yourself are not qualified to go down the street. But in Christ, you can touch the nations. Glory to God. It's not you. It's Christ in you. Again, you died. We're not talking about you. We're not talking about your flesh. We're talking about Christ in you. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Hallelujah to Jesus. So again, number one, God's part is that Jesus possesses all authority. Our part is that we go in that same authority, but we have to be the ones to go. We have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. His earthly ministry in his own flesh ended at 33 and a half years old when he went to the grave and ascended and went to heaven. And now he's saying, no, the ministry that you saw me do these last 3.5 years, that has not gone away. It's just now exponentially multiplied through each one of you. So he says, now go preach, go get them saved, and now go make disciples. What are disciples? These are followers of Jesus who will lead and teach others, who will lead and teach others. And this is how it is perpetuated. It's not relying upon fivefold ministers. It's relying on every single one of us to do our part. Again, the work of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints. And it says the saints are to be ones to do the work of the ministry, Ephesians chapter 4. This is what we're doing here tonight. You are being commissioned. Praise God. You are being commissioned tonight to go out from this place Amen. And to take all of these things that we have been learning and go and share it with somebody else. Praise God. To number one, go preach the gospel, go get them saved, but now bring them in so we can disciple them. So that they can be sitting here, praise God, this time next year, and they could be the ones being commissioned out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, Jesus sends us the same way the Father sent him. He says, as the Father sent me, I also send you. So how did the Father send Jesus? So we're going to look at this word as in Greek is the word kathos. It means according to, just as, in direct proportion to, or to the degree of. So however the Father sent Jesus, in direct proportion, Jesus is now saying, I'm sending you. The exact same way, the exact same measure. So again, Jesus was sent, number one, Jesus was sent into this earth. He was born of the Word of God, born of a virgin. So again, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, literally the Word of God impregnated Mary. 9 months later, she gives birth to a beautiful baby boy, the anointed Christ. Hallelujah. So again, Jesus did not need to be born again as you and I do. He was literally born of the Word. Now, the Word tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, at the new birth, you and I, we were born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. You and I were born again of the exact same Word that came upon Mary that day, 2,000 years ago. Same Word. Same Word. The same Word that caused Jesus to be born in the earth is the exact same Word that caused you and I to be born again. So again, as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is now sending us. Secondly, we see that Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit. So again, he's born of the Word, which is the Spirit within, which you and I would call the new birth today. But we see at 30 years old, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. But what happens? John the Baptist says, I saw the like a dove coming down out of heaven. It came and it rested upon Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit upon. Jesus was born into this earth of the Word of God with the Holy Spirit within. You and I at the new birth have Holy Spirit within. Amen. But now Jesus at 30 years old has Holy Spirit come upon him. Very different experience. Up until that moment in Jesus' life, there are no signs, wonders, miracles, none of it. The scripture tells us that the miracle at Cana, when Jesus turned water into wine, the scripture says that was the first miracle. The number one, first, none of it occurred before then. Why? He was not yet anointed before that. He was the anointed one, but Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him to go out now and do the work of the ministry. There was no ministry before 30 years old. From 30 to 33 and a half is when all of this takes place. And it didn't happen until Holy Spirit came upon him. So there's two very distinct experiences. Jesus is baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is, again, for you and I, after the new birth, we are to receive Holy Spirit upon us, which in this case, it sends him out in power, in compassion, in truth. Jesus is sent in truth. He's sent in obedience. But in all of this, he's sent in partnership with the Father. Again, Jesus said, I only do what I see Father do. How did he know? How did he see what Father does? He's having intimate time of fellowship and prayer. Yes, he's reading his Bible. It is God. But he's spending all of these times, he's getting up early in the morning before everybody else. He's drawn away to a private place just to have time with the Father, just to have communion, two-way conversation. And he's hearing from the Father. Father's revealing to his spirit, showing him, this is how we need to take care of this situation. This is what you need to do in your day. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus, number three, Jesus empowers us with the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus does not send you out in your own strength. You're not going to make it very far in your willpower or in your might. No, I can't do anything in my own flesh, but I can do all things through Christ, who I am, who strengthens me. When I will draw upon the life of Christ within me, I can do all things. In your flesh, it is impossible. In your flesh, you can't go move mountains, but in the Spirit, I can give it a faith command and it'll get up and it'll go, whatever that mountain is. Again, he sends me the same way the Father sent him, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So again, we're going to look at this in John 20. Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Again, this is the Spirit within for salvation at the new birth. All right. He also tells the exact same disciples four times in these places. Number one, wait for the promise of the Father. Well, you were just born again. So what is he telling you now? You have Holy Spirit within. You need Holy Spirit upon. He says, number two, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Number three says, remain in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Clothed. So now he's talking about something, an outer garment, not the inward. This is outward. Number four says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not within you, upon you. This is two very distinct things. So I want to look at here this, in Greek. This he says, you have been clothed with. That word, that phrase, you have been enclothed with, is in Greek, is the word enduo. It means to clothe or to be clothed in the sense of sinking into a garment, endued with, or placed in. It is a verb that primarily means to put on clothing or to be clothed. It conveys the idea of adopting a new identity or character, much like one would wear a garment. In ancient Greek culture, clothing was not only a necessity, but a symbol of status, identity, and roles. To put on a garment could signify a change in one's social status or role. In Jewish context, clothing also had religious significance, as seen in the priestly garments. The metaphorical use of enduo, which runs throughout the New Testament, reflects this cultural understanding, emphasizing a transformation or adoption of a new spiritual identity. So later on over in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, you'll see Paul writing to the church. He says, you've been living as mere men. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. It's time now for you to endure. It's time for you to go back and put on Christ. You laid him down. It's now time to put him back on. He says, you need to be clothed with power. You need to put this power on. Don't go out down the street trying to go preach the gospel, trying to cast out devils, trying to lay hands on the sick apart from Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, the one who's going to lead you in the first place. Holy Spirit, the one who's going to show you how to minister. Holy Spirit will show you what to speak to that devil to tell him to go, or how he wants to handle that situation. Without him, you won't know. Thank you, Jesus. This is, again, clothed in duo, put on power. This word power is the word dunamis. Dunamis. This is where we get our word in English, dynamite. And it means exactly that. It is explosive, dynamic, wonder working. It means miraculous power, mighty working power. It means strength. It means God's inherent ability. It means God's ability to perform. Say God's ability to perform. Amen. Holy Spirit upon you. Hallelujah. This is God's ability coming on flesh. Flesh can't do it, but God on your flesh can do it. Hallelujah. So again, we're talking about, when you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're really talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit. The nine gifts of the Spirit. So again, Holy Spirit it is the Spirit upon, for power, for boldness, and for ministry. This is why he's come. He has come for power, for boldness, and for our ministry. This isn't just for you to, you know, enjoy your life a little bit better. That's not what he is here for, not in that sense. So again, just the difference between the two, the Spirit within we're talking about the nine fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians 5:22. Again, Holy Spirit within is for character. It's for the fruit of the Spirit. It's for transformation. It is what we see in the life of Jesus from his birth until we see him at the Jordan River. That is how he functioned up until that time. He functioned in the new birth. Well, the Holy Spirit at the Jordan River came upon him, and that is where we saw the power. That is where we saw the ministry gifts operating in his ministry. That's when you saw the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, and all of these things. He's going out and preaching and teaching in power. Why? Literally, the Spirit of God is upon him, and this is why he says over in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. What is anointing upon? It means to anoint. Literally, we take oil and we apply it to the external parts of your body. Even as it was like we see in Aaron, it took the oil and they poured it and just ran head to toe. That is the anointing coming upon you. It is a supernatural empowerment to not just live this life, but to be an effective witness for the gospel. Not according to any man's standard, but according to his standard. Glory to God. Man waters his things down, not God. God doesn't back up. He says, no, I'm sending you out the exact same way with the exact same Spirit, with the exact same anointing, the exact same power. Amen. Again, all things are possible to him who believes. Whatever measure you're willing to believe him at is how it will function in your life. Many choose to believe that it's just not functioning at all. A lot of folks in the church say, well, you know, all this has passed away. Well, guess what? This will not operate in your life. You have a free will. You get to choose. Again, it's not my life. It's not my spirit. He who has been joined to the Lord is one spirit with us. So it's not my spirit. It's not my body. It all belongs to him. So I have no business putting limits and saying yes, no, maybe. No, it's just simply yes, amen. God, you said do this, you showed me to do that, and I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to do it by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I'm not confirmed with me. I'm not confirmed with you. I'm not confirmed with all this other stuff out here. I'm confirmed with the one. Glory to God. And whatever he's showing me to do, all the power, all of the strength, all of the ability is already there. It's already there. All I'm doing is just hooking up. I'm just agreeing with God. I'm just agreeing with God. Homo logio. Again, we've shared this many, many times. You'll see it throughout the New Testament. Homo means same. Logio, I'm speaking. I'm saying the exact same thing that God says. I'm only saying what Father says. That's what Jesus said. I only say what Father says. And he got perfect results. You and I'm the homo logio. I'm only to say what Father says. It looks, it feels, it seems not important. Irrelevant. That's subject to change. The word is not subject to change. I'm agreeing with God 100% of the time. I'm only looking to what the word has said. I'm not considering anything else. And if I'll stick with God, it'll work for me just like it works for Jesus. Amen. So again, this is his miracles, but it's our mission. The miracles have not stopped. The miracles have not stopped. His power has not stopped. People have stopped believing it, but it has not stopped. He's the same yesterday, today, forever, and he's in you. He is in you. He is trying and endeavoring to live his life through you. If you'll just have enough sense to say, get me out of the way, Holy Spirit, you take over here. All right? Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He does all the work. He does all the work. Thank you, Jesus. Again, Jesus did not do anything in his earthly ministry apart from Holy Spirit upon him. And likewise, he never intended for you and I, his disciples, to fulfill the Great Commission without the power of the Spirit upon us. And again, that's why he so sternly warned them, you do not leave Jerusalem until Holy Spirit has come. He's going to clothe you with power. Then you can go out and be disciples to all the nations. Do not leave without Holy Spirit. So again, as believers, yes, get born again, but right quick, receive Holy Spirit upon you and start yielding to him. He'll lead you, he'll guide you, he'll help you. All of the power you need will be right there to back it. Thank you, Jesus. So again, looking at this pattern, John chapter 20, we have the disciples born again. In Acts chapter 2, we see them empowered the day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit comes on them. They're all speaking in other tongues, the entire 120. Yes, even women, Mary, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, the 120, they're not all fivefold ministry. These are just everyday believers. Mary, his mother, was there. She's not fivefold ministry. She's filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues. Woo! Yeah. Amen. It wasn't just for public ministry. It was for everyday life. Number three, thirdly, we see them ministering in power in Acts chapter 3. I know next week we're having the fellowship dinner, but the week after that, we're actually going to take a look at that miracle on that side of the cross to see more about how we're to function in this. Amen. So the Great Commission is impossible without the Holy Spirit, and it is unstoppable with him. Without him, it is impossible, but with him, we are unstoppable. Amen. There is nothing that can stop the power of God. Nothing. Nothing in this earth. Again, all authority, heaven, earth, under the earth, there's no authority, there's no power that can stand against the power of God that's already in and on your life. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So again, God's part is to empower us with the Spirit. Our part is to receive it, to yield to him continually, and to act in faith. So again, I'm to hear what he says, whatever he shows me to do, I'm to say yes to that, I'm to yield to that, and I'm now by faith supposed to go out and start doing it. And as I'll do my part, God will be there to manifest the healing, to cast out the devils, to go win the lost. But you've got to go. You have to go. If you don't go, then who will? He's not sending angels to preach the gospel. He sent you. You go. You go. You go. Amen. Glory to God. Again, Jesus expects his works to continue through his people. And they will only happen as they continue through his people. Again, he said, these signs will follow those who believe. What about those who don't believe? Those signs won't follow. You don't have to look too far. You know, growing up, you know, I've been around some years. There's a whole lot of Christians out there that don't believe. Guess what? None of those signs follow their life, follow those ministries. It's just not there. And there's some things, but not all this. Why? They don't believe it. He says these signs will follow. So if you will dare to take God at his word, believe what he has said, you have absolutely every right to expect the fullness of these signs to follow your life and ministry. And they will. He guarantees it. He tells you this is exactly what is going to happen. Not just what, this is what I desire above all things to do. This is what I desire to do. Amen. I just need somebody to take me at my word and to do it. So again, I want to make note here. He says, all those who will believe. This is not just fivefold ministers. All who will believe. Every everyday believer. Every believer. Again, these works continue through the people of Jesus. Again, we are his disciples. So again, Jesus also here, he promises his presence as we go. He promises us his presence as we go. He says, I am with you always. I'm with you. Yes, he's with you. He's in you. You are the temple of God. You are one spirit with the Lord. Of course he's with you. I always get a kick out of it. You know, people pray, oh, Lord, we're going to go. Please go with us. Where do you think he's at? Where do you think he's at? He's in you at the new birth. He's in you. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We're joined up. We're one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So again, I'm with you always. His presence is not in the staying, but it's in the going. When you will go in faith, you'll see the manifestation of his presence. Now he's there. But when you'll go as he's leading you to go, then you'll see the manifested presence of God. Now our part is to expect his presence wherever we go. Wherever we go, I'm to be expecting. God, I'm believing you're going to show up today. You're showing up today. You're showing up in church. You're showing up in the grocery store. You're showing up in my car, driving down the road. I know you're here, but I'm placing a demand in faith. Lord, I'm believing to receive the manifested presence of God. When I step out, and Lord, I believe you showed me to go minister to this person, I have absolutely 100% faith. You're showing up. You're showing up. Amen. Glory to God. Expect his presence. He says, I'm with you always. Amen. So again, what the Great Commission reveals about disciples. Number one, disciples go. Disciples just go. Go, therefore. And what we know about this, faith moves. Faith is an act. Well, I'll go when it seems right. I'll go when it seems like maybe they're receptive to the gospel. Maybe I'll go when I have enough money to go. Paul and I would not have been in the ministry. Paul and I certainly wouldn't have left Fort Worth, Texas, to come out to Ogallala, Nebraska, if we were waiting on this and that and the other. No, we just heard from God, go, and so we said, go. Put the house up for sale. It sold 8 days later. Let's go. Amen. Praise God. Just go. Faith moves. Disciples are ones who are sent. You don't find disciples sitting on the couch. No such thing. No such thing. Huh? No, you've got to be in motion. You've got to go. So I want to ask us all tonight, what are you personally doing to fulfill your part in going? So when he says, go therefore, he wasn't just talking to 12 boys 2,000 years ago. He's talking to every believer, go. What are you doing to go? What's your part? Everyone has a part in the Great Commission. Every single believer, all believers. Now, maybe that's news for somebody. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you just thought that was fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 says otherwise. No. The fivefold minister is there to really, number one, to do to equip the saints. He says, so the saints can do the work of the ministry. He's not talking about greeting at the door, which involves that, but he's talking about, no, you've got to go be the ones to go preach the gospel to your neighbors. You've got to be the ones laying hands on the sick at Walmart. I'm asking you to awaken to this and to consider this is what he's really calling you to do. Now, he may be calling you to enter fivefold ministry. He may be calling you to be an evangelist. He may be calling you. Wonderful. But each and every one of us has a part in going therefore. Number two, what the Great Commission reveals about disciples is disciples make disciples. So number one, we've got to go preach the gospel. We've got to go get them saved. That is paramount above all else. But number two, once you get them saved, what's next? Make disciples. Make disciples. So again, disciples make disciples. We are to reproduce what Jesus has done in us. Amen. So again, you're here tonight. You are being discipled in the Word of God. But what are you doing to disciple someone else? Now, if you haven't preached the gospel to anybody, you know, we want to start there. Get them saved. Bring them in. Amen. But we have to be discipling someone else. What are you personally doing to fulfill your part in making disciples? Selah. What are you doing to personally fulfill your part in making disciples? You have a part. On some level, you have a part. that may be up here leading a class on a Wednesday night. It could look a lot of different ways, but you have a part. God is calling you. Number three, Jesus or disciples teach what Jesus taught. He says, teach them to obey everything I commanded. Everything. Teach them to obey everything I commanded. So again, we're to live that life as an example, but we're also to exhort, to teach, and encourage others to do the same. Live the lifestyle of Jesus. Lay down, he said, I've laid down my life for my friends. Amen. We're to lay down our lives for one another. We're to lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel. Again, I died the death of the cross. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Again, Galatians 2:20. That is our new life. That is how we're to live this life. So what are you doing on purpose to teach others? It doesn't just happen automatically. Teaching someone doesn't just happen. It happens with purpose. So on purpose, what are you doing to teach others? Amen. Number four, disciples operate in supernatural signs. So he says, in my name, you will cast out the devil. In my name, you will speak in new tongues. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is what you and I would call supernatural. In the kingdom, that's just everyday ordinary. All right? But this supernatural is to be normal for you and I. So I want to ask you, what steps are you taking to operate in supernatural signs? Have you even believed for it? When's the last time you spoke to a devil? When's the last time you spoke in tongues? When's the last time you went and laid hands on the sick in the name of Jesus? Amen. Now, again, you can look further over into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you can get deeper into that, the nine ministry gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, and there's a whole teaching on that. Amen. But we're just talking about everyday, ordinary, lay hands on the sick, cast out the devil, amen, resist him in the name of Jesus, you get out of here, amen, and speaking in other tongues. He listed these things in the Great Commission. He did not list all the nine gifts of the Spirit in the Great Commission. He did list those. Those are for every believer. That's why, because those are for every believer. All the nine gifts of the Spirit are not for every believer. Those are as the Spirit wills, and those are for public ministry. Hallelujah. Disciples depend on the Holy Spirit. He says, wait until you are clothed with power. So again, we do not go in our own strength. We go in His strength. We go in His might. We go in His limitless ability. Again, in what ways or areas can you right now identify where you are or where you are not depending on the power of Holy Spirit in your life? So again, just think about this. Where am I? You know what? I am dependent on Holy Spirit. I live by the power of Holy Spirit in these areas. But you know what? If I'm honest with myself, you know, I've been trying to do this according to me. I've been doing that according to me. I've been trying to do that according to me. And all of that is apart from faith. There's no power in that. There's no grace in that. Selah. Think about these things. Glory to God. So again, we're closing up here. He says, this is the turning point, though. He says, as the Father sent me, I send you. This is the moment that everything changed. This is that moment. Jesus is saying, my ministry has become your ministry. He said over in John 14, greater works shall you do because I got to go to the Father. All of this anointing, all of this grace is not leaving the earth. It's just being transferred. All of this authority, all of this power, it's just being transferred to the church. Not just a select few, the church. Every believer, greater works shall you do. He has every expectation that you shall do it. Sir, yes, sir. By looking at the natural self, looking at me, I can't see how, but I'm not looking at that. I'm just looking to the Word. I'm looking to the promise. I'm looking to the Holy Spirit. I'm looking to who I am, what I have, what I can do in Christ, and say, "Oh, I can do all things." So let's go. Let's go. Amen. His ministry has become our ministry. His mission has become my mission. His miracles, his signs, his wonders, his teaching, his preaching, his making disciples has become my mission. It's my mission. You have to take ownership of it for yourself. Oh, well, that's what pastor does. That's what others in the church do. Maybe if I've been around for 10, 20 years, maybe then. No, that was yours the moment you got born again. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Hallelujah. My works become, he's saying that my works have now become your works. This is the transfer of kingdom responsibility. Praise God. So again, I just want to recap all of this, how this commission is activated. Number one, Jesus declares his authority on the church. Number two, Jesus sends his disciples. Number three, he promises his presence. Number four, he empowers us with Holy Spirit upon us. Number four, we see that disciples go. Next, we see disciples preach. Next, we see disciples cast out devils. Next, we see disciples speak in other tongues. Next, we see disciples lay on hands. Next, we see that signs follow. Next, we see that people are saved. And next, we see the kingdom multiplies. And this is exactly how Jesus continues his works. It's through his people, all of them, every single one of us. Glory to God. That is so awesome. God would choose imperfect vessels to accomplish his perfect will. You and I are imperfect vessels. And God knows all of this. And yet he says, I chose you to place my glory in you, to make my will made known through you. I get to be a part of making an eternal difference in my community, in my family, praise God, to all those round about me. I get to be a part of touching this world for eternity. Someone's salvation is dependent upon you. People like to think, well, you know, if they're going to get saved, well, they'll just get saved. There's a whole denomination out there that you know, going back in church history, you know, that believes that. You know, well, you know, so they stopped evangelizing. They saw that there was no need to evangelize because if God wants to save you, well, you'll get saved. No, if that was so, then Jesus would have never said, go preach. How will man get saved except by a preacher? Someone's got to go preach the good news. Amen. Now, I can't be in every neighborhood. I can't be in every family. That's why God has placed you. You are there to go be that salt, to go be that light, to go be that preacher, to go cast out that devil, to go lay hands on the sick. Amen. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. We're going to close online. We're going to break out here in the room for the next few minutes. But in the meantime, know this, that God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.